Morning. How's everyone doing? Hey, one quick announcement to start us off. There is still time to sign up for small groups in the Keppel House. So small groups, sign up. Go to our website, hope.edu/campusministry, and the website will take you right through how to sign up. So take a visit. Our scripture passage this morning comes from the book of John. So if you have your Bible, I invite you to take it out. If you want to grab the Bible in front of you in the pews, it's going to be on page 867. We're going to read John chapter 5, verse 39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But it is they that testify on my behalf. You refuse to come to me to have life. This is the word of the Lord. Well, congratulations. You've made it through the first week of class, a whole week of classes. Pat yourself on the back. Hopefully, you're learning something about the rhythms of your schedule now, maybe learning about how to be a good roommate, maybe learning something about how much time to guard for your homework and how much to give to donut runs and playing spike ball in the pine grove. And if you still think that there is a bowling alley on campus somewhere, or that you can function on 3 hours of sleep a night, or that you know more than that one professor, then let me assure you, you are here for a purpose. There is still more to learn. My name is Lauren Taylor, and I am a chaplain here at Hope College in campus ministry. And as this year has started up, I have found myself reflecting back on my own time in college, and specifically one moment that sort of launched me into my course of study. It was in the early fall. The air was crisp. The leaves were turning. I was still enchanted with the selection in the cafeteria. Now, my freshman year, I was lucky enough to be assigned not one and not two and not three and not even four roommates, but five roommates. There was six of us living in one square room. And so I quickly learned that if I wanted alone time, the only time I was going to get that would be really early in the morning while everyone else was still sleeping. And so I can remember one morning in the early fall, sitting at my desk, huddled under some lamplight, with a blanket my grandmother had knit me and my Bible. And I was reading a passage from the book of Mark, the story of Jesus calming the storm. And as my eyes traced over these first couple verses, I found myself yawning. And I skipped ahead to the end, and I thought to myself, I don't need to read this. Not because it's unimportant, but because I've already read it. I've read it a lot, actually, because I grew up in the church. I grew up going to Sunday school. I knew this story well. It was featured in my children's Bible. I frequently reenacted it in the bathtub as a little girl. I talked about it in Sunday school. I read about it in my devotions. I taught about it as a youth group leader. It was a great story. And I knew it like the back of my hand. And so, as I was reading this passage, I thought to myself, I feel bored reading the Bible. Is that okay? Is that okay for me to feel that way? I thought to myself, I think I feel bored. I know what the moral of this story is. I know what I'm supposed to think. And so I stared down at my Bible in that moment, and I remember flipping through all of its pages and letting a lifetime of memories of Sunday school and church services wash over me. And I thought, I feel bored reading the Bible. Is this it, really, for the rest of my life? This one book? these same stories and these same life lessons over and over and over again? And I began to wonder, I don't feel happy with that. This can't be it. So how am I supposed to read the Bible? How am I supposed to read the Bible? Now, I heard this question echoed in a conversation I had with a student last week. She was coming at the same question, but from a different angle. You see, she had never read the Bible. She didn't grow up reading the Bible. It wasn't part of her routine now. She sort of thought, well, maybe this is just for the really super spiritual Christians. And she sort of felt intimidated by it. And so she began to wonder, too, this can't be it. I'm not happy with this. So how do I read the Bible? She began to wonder. How do I read the Bible? Now, I know, your relationship with reading the Bible is complicated. Maybe you're like I was, and you're bored with it. Maybe you're like this other student was, and you're intimidated by it. Or maybe it's something totally different. Maybe you have been hurt by it, or you've watched other people use it to hurt others. Maybe you're confused by it. You read something in a passage a while back that totally weirded you out, and you haven't picked it up since. Your relationship with reading the Bible, I know it's complicated, but I also know that Scripture is an essential part of the Christian life. It's a non-negotiable. So, where are you at? Let's have a little heart-to-heart here for a second. I know you're trying to figure things out, and you're developing your new rhythm this year, and you're forming your new habits this year. But as part of all of this newness, you're faced with a question right now. Are you going to make time for Scripture this year? Are you going to make time to read the Bible? Regardless of where you're at on this spectrum, never read it in your life before, read it every single day of your life before, regardless of where you're at, right now you're faced with a question as we look ahead to the rest of this year. Are you going to make space for the Bible? Now, let me just share a little insight, some wisdom here. I have a feeling that at a place like Hope, you're not going to be able to escape, you're not going to be able to totally escape the Bible here or conversations about the Bible. So, from my perspective, you might as well spend some time at the outset figuring out the how, right? How are you going to read the Bible? So I first want to suggest a simple answer. How do you read the Bible? You just do. You just read it. Like St. Augustine heard in the garden on the night of his conversion, you just pick it up and read. Pick up and read. Pick up and read. Like the student who was intimidated by it, you just have to find the courage to crack it open and to read it. With a few friends, with a mentor, in a Bible study, my first suggestion is simple. If you want to know how to read the Bible, you have to start by reading the Bible. Okay, so I have a one-year-old. His name is Theo, and one of the best parts I've discovered of having a little kid is reading to him. One of the worst parts of having a little kid is reading to him the same story over and over and over again. His current favorite right now is called The Little Blue Truck. And it's a cute story that has a cute life lesson. It becomes less cute when you read it for the 100th time. But that's fine because it's a kid's book, right? And it's meant to have a life lesson. It's meant to have a moral. It's meant to be read et nauseum by parents to their kids. And it's because it's a kid's book. Now, eventually, Theo will learn this book. He'll learn the moral of the story and will hope that it sticks. And he'll grow out of this book. He won't want to read it anymore because he knows how it goes. He knows what he's supposed to learn from it. And it's going to get boring to him. And that's okay. That's how it's supposed to go. This is a kid's book. Now, the Bible is not a kid's book. The Bible is different from actually any other book, Christians believe. You can't exhaust it by memorizing its stories and its morals. It doesn't work that way. And that's what I needed someone to tell 18-year-old Lauren sitting at her desk in college. And so this is my second suggestion. We read the Bible not just to know the moral of the story, not just to know the rules. We read the Bible to meet with Christ. Let me say that again. We read the Bible to meet with Christ, to meet with Jesus, the living Word of God. John 1 says this, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so this here, this is the Word of God in a sense, because in it we meet with the living Word of God. In this place, we meet God. We develop a relationship with God. Now, a few chapters later, John, speaking to some self-righteous religious leaders, says this to them. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But it is they that testify on my behalf. And you refuse to come to me to have life. We read the Bible not because the Bible saves us. Jesus saves us. We read the Bible to meet with him. So is the Bible boring sometimes? Yeah. Is it hard to understand sometimes? Absolutely. Has it been used in really bad ways sometimes? Unfortunately, it has. So what do we do with that? What are we supposed to do? The easy answer is to forget it, to not make time for it. But God calls us still to pick up and read. Just keep reading. You won't have a magical experience every time. You might even forget what you've read by the time you get to lunch. But God still encourages us to pick up and read. Thanks be to God. Amen. You're dismissed.